There's this great book in the series, Gerald the Elephant and Piggy the Pig by Mo Williams, entitled Waiting is Hard. And the premise goes like this. Piggy has a surprise for Gerald, but he has to wait for it to happen. And the longer he waits, the more upset and agitated he gets. The illustrations are really simple. A pig and an elephant and these speech bubbles on top for the dialogue. But at one point, Gerald gets so impatient, his groan takes over the whole, both pages, and it squishes Piggy. I think we've all been there. With Amazon's overnight shipping and instant gratification at our fingertips, on our phones, almost all the time, I think our tolerance for patience has grown very slim. I want things to happen, and I want them to happen right now. I think I agree with Gerald. Waiting is so freaking hard. We hear the impatience in the disciples' questions at the beginning of Acts. They ask Jesus, Lord, is now this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom to Israel, excuse me. The disciples have been by Jesus' side this whole time. They've watched him heal and teach and gather folks of all ages and backgrounds and identities. They've watched him wrestle with temple authorities and Roman authorities. They've witnessed his gruesome death on the cross and his astonishing resurrection. They met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And there Jesus gave him this encouraging pep talk, and then he revealed who he was through the breaking of bread. Jesus had defeated death, so surely now this is the time when the Roman Empire will crumble and God's reign will finally be fully here. And yet Jesus, always the surprise, responds, "It's not for you to know." Gosh darn it. Come on, Jesus. I'm so tired of waiting. Why can't things happen on a reasonable timetable? Haven't we waited long enough? It makes me wonder, what are you waiting for these days? People to come to their senses? Politicians to finally hear us? Peace and less pain within our bodies? What do you wait for? Jesus in this text goes on to say pretty much that it's now the disciples' turn. It's their turn to take the baton. They will receive the Holy Spirit and they will be witnesses in Jerusalem. All right, we can do that. They will be witnesses in Judea. Yeah, that makes sense. They will be witnesses in Samaria. Now, wait a minute. Samaria is on the opposite side. Those are the enemies. Remember that Good Samaritan story? That's Samaria. Not so sure about that. And then Jesus lists that they will be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Holy buckets. And then the story gets even better after Jesus gives them this to-do list. He is lifted up in a cloud, like a beam me up, Scotty kind of moment, before the disciples can respond. It's not fair. Ascension is one of those great days that is depicted marvelously in medieval art. Like, there are even churches where it's just Jesus' toes in the ceiling. I know, it's super goofy. Like, there's pictures of Jesus with his toes and these disciples going, wait, come back. They're tired of waiting. Please come back. What I've noticed in this story of ascension this time around is there's this in-between space, this waiting space. From the time that Jesus is resurrected and ascends, weirdly floats away, to the time of the Holy Spirit, the season, the celebration of Pentecost, which we get next week, there is this space in between. 25 verses about. Holy Spirit is fashionably late. Why can't she show up right after Jesus leaves? These poor disciples have been waiting long enough. And yet in this space of waiting, some angels show up. And interestingly enough, they don't say, do not be afraid. They say, stop looking where Jesus has left and go along. And so the disciples do that. They don't seem to be as impatient as I am. They go back to the upper room and they pray. And maybe they hope they don't draw that short straw to go to Samaria or the ends of the earth, whatever that means. But what's interesting, in our gospel reading too, Jesus has just given this 3-chapter-long pep talk to the disciples about how they will be okay when he goes to die. And then in this liminal space of waiting between the pep talk and the crucifixion, Jesus prays loudly in front of the disciples, forward to the disciples, in this very long-winded kind of way. But the main point is, God, continue to be with them. Prayer and waiting, waiting and prayer in this liminal space. Going back to Gerald and Piggy, after his loud, exaggerated groan, squishing Piggy, he realizes they have waited too long. It's getting dark and he can't see anything and he freaks out. Piggy quietly assures him that everything is fine. And once it is completely dark, she finally invites him to look up. And all he can see are stars. And all he can say to that is, wow, that was worth the wait. And she replies, I know. Bo Williams is right. Waiting is hard. And yet the promise of this weird ascension day is that we can rest assured that while we are impatiently waiting for God to show up in all our broken, impossible situations, the promise is that the Holy Spirit is coming. And this work of being witnesses of God's love is not something we do on our own. In fact, waiting is an important part of the process. Prayer is an important part of the process. This week, I was listening to a conversation between Professor Katie Bowler and writer Sarah Bessie and the wonderful Lutheran, Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber. And they all talked about how in this impossible time we find ourselves in, with Christian nationalism on the rise and war, and it seems like the dismantling of our democracy and all that we hold dear. In the midst of Maycember, which is a new term for me, but I'm fully embracing it, right? Too many sporting events and graduations and banquets and concerts in the midst of all the hurriedness. These three feel drawn to be little old church ladies. Their hearts and spirits want to join those who knit and garden and sing and cook and eat. These very ancient, very human, incarnational practices. These very small, simple acts of big love, where they can let go of their hurriedness and worries and anxious ways of trying to control the world and simply be present where they are planted. To wait in community, to pray with their hands and feet and hearts, creating these little pockets of hope where God indeed will show up. And does show up. Not up there, like those disciples waiting, but right here. While we wait, we pray, we love, we do the important work of being human with one another. And Dave did great with that long list of names in that reading, right? And there's a lot of people in that upper room, and the women don't even get counted. Gosh darn it. But, dear ones, it's important to name that the last few years have been wild. You got a new pastor. We got new national leaders with a shakeup that none of us could have predicted. And in the midst of that, we have been doing this good, faithful work of waiting and praying, reflecting to where God is moving in our midst and where do we feel called to go next. In our strategic plan, which we announced 12 months ago now, how wild is that? In this report, we created this vision statement that says, by our 100th anniversary in 2033, Faith Lutheran will be a thriving and diverse center, meeting the needs of its members and its community through worship and service. That's something we hope to do by 2033. But it's funny to reflect back and realize that we are already doing this in so many ways. Sharing our space with scout troops and goats and lightsabers and Ethiopian Orthodox Christians and preschoolers and Turkish caterers and a Russian folk orchestra and senior size groups and so many kinds of dancing. Bollywood, Zumba, country line dancing. And this isn't work that's happened overnight or even started 2 years ago when we started the strategic planning process, but it began over 10 years ago with a mission design team that was with Pastor Yvette, where you all decided you did not want to be an empty building during the week. But we want to share our space with the community and be a gathering space for love and dignity and safety for all that enter. And so today we want to bless that fellowship space by creating prayerful art together with the hope that all who enter our space will remember they are beloved, they are accepted, they are affirmed by God and by us at Faith Lutheran. And it may not seem like much in the midst of all the dumpster fires, but I'm convinced that it is all God needs to work with, to create deeper love and more genuine community. These small little acts with great love, these little lights that we hold on to are much brighter than we will ever know. And so, dear ones, while you wait for whatever you're waiting for today, may you know you don't wait alone. Even when it feels like God has left the building, rest assured that the Holy Spirit is coming, and she is fierce and fiery and more powerful beyond our wildest imaginations. She brings courage and understanding in ways we don't think is possible. And in the meantime, we wait and we pray and we build some beauty together. So, hopefully you picked up a canvas on your way in. If you didn't, I invite you to grab your bulletin and either a crayon or a pencil. And these are canvases that are going to go on our mural. I'm going to read our welcome statement, and I invite you to write one word or a prayer from that welcome statement onto the back of your canvas in pencil or crayon. Does that make sense? Does anyone want a canvas that doesn't have one? Yeah? All right. The assignment is draw or write a word or an image on the back of the canvas. And I'm going to read our welcome statement. First, let's take a big breath in together. At Faith Lutheran Church, we celebrate and give thanks for the many different gifts that God has bestowed on each of us as unique creations made in God's own image. We are called by Jesus to love God and one another, and we reflect God's boundless love in loving and serving our neighbors with open hearts. As such, you are beloved, accepted, and affirmed here. No matter who you are or where you are on your faith journey, we invite you to join us. We welcome without limitation people of every race, ethnicity, age, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, marital or family status, ability or disability. and economic and social status. We commit ourselves to supporting social and economic justice, environmental care, and anti-racism efforts as faithful responses to the call to love others and God's beloved creation. Christ's message, the gospel, is for everyone equally, and we strive to provide a nurturing and affirming setting in which all may gather, worship, and serve. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks be to God.